Is it possible that something good can come out of the character assassination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh? I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angles brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. And men, this is a serious thought that I had today upon reading an article, and I should give credit to Rebecca Traister, who wrote the article at a website called The Cut under the headline, "When the Muzzle Comes Off." And it was a broad article, not necessarily about this particular incident, but what she was saying is basically that even if, as she would wish, Judge Kavanaugh is not blocked, his nomination is not prevented, that some good is coming out of this. And the upshot of her argument is that women who, in her terms, have been muzzled for years about incidents involving sexual assault or abuse that happened to them, have felt a new sense of unity, a new sense of freedom to speak out, a new willingness, to tell their stories. And it occurred to me that all of this, if you do not believe the accuser of Judge Kavanaugh, all of this will have come at the expense of a man's reputation. And it brought up the question of, you know, Stephen Green, is it possible that even if Brett Kavanaugh suffers and his family suffers as a result from this, in a loss of reputation, maybe a loss of employment, that it might have been worth it because some women who were otherwise silenced and suffering in silence get their day?
Well, what do you mean by their day?
Their opportunity to unburden themselves, basically, of something that they have kept secret all these times. It's as if you had been molested as a child whatever and never told anybody.
You know what? That's what therapy is for. That's what the police are for. That's what the courts are for. That's what your family is for. I don't understand people who keep this kind of thing bottled up. I really don't. There are so many outlets, private and public both, that keeping this stuff bottled up inside does not make any sense to me. I just don't understand it. Meanwhile, you mentioned Brett Kavanaugh, who's at the center of this thing. This is a guy who, even if he does get seated on the Supreme Court, his name is going to be the liberal code word for serial rapist, even though that's not one of the actual allegations, for the next 50 years, and he's going to be used to tarnish not just himself, but men in general and the Supreme Court. You know, the left will just absolutely taint or destroy, if they can, any institution they can't seize a hold of. And I think we have to keep that front and center. And what about the women who are coming out with these seemingly baseless accusations? I don't know if they're true or not, but when you can't even remember the year that something terrible happened, much less where it happened, or in the case of the second accuser, whether or not Brett Kavanaugh was even there, I am tempted to say these are baseless allegations. So what we're doing here, or I should say what the left has been doing here, is encouraging women to besmirch their own reputations by coming forward with stuff that they can't support. I just don't see any good coming out of this, Scott.
Here's the good that comes out of it, because I was talking to a woman the other day, and she was basically saying, look, I don't know whether these accusations are true or not, but I know what's happened to me. I know the kinds of abuse that I have endured over the years. I'm speaking in the voice of this woman.
Yes.
And she said, it's finally good to be able to talk to other women, basically, about this, and to come together and to have our voices be heard, and to not have this be my silent shame anymore. She didn't use that term, but I'm using that term. And
that's
so
a good term.
Even though the accusation may not be substantial, it may not be true, what it has done is kind of taken the lid off of a can that for a lot of other women who legitimately were abused, and given them an opportunity to find the release and the sisterhood, essentially, the opportunity. You know how it is. You talk to other people who've suffered something you've suffered. There's a bond there that is palliative.
Well, wonderful. I think that's great. It is always good to unburden yourself, I suppose. And no, I don't even suppose. I know it is good to unburden yourself, but all I can say is, or all I can ask is, what took you so long, and why did you wait?
Well, Bill Whittle, there's a twist in this story that I read on this website called The Cut by Rebecca Traister. And when she gets down near the end, She says this, and I want to quote her exactly because it kind of took me off guard when I read it. The telling of the stories, meaning the stories of these women who have been abused or sexually assaulted, the telling of the stories, the raising of the voices, does its own political work and reveals things that we may have known at some level but have never been able to see so plainly. The connection between policy, the desire to control women's bodies via restricting and policing their reproductive autonomy, and the personal treatment of individual women. Bill, she just made a direct connection there, basically saying the salutary effect of these women being able to come out and tell their stories has been to be a brushback pitch to those who would want to ban abortion, for example.
Yeah, it's a tough
one. Women capable of surviving in this society as equals, or aren't they? If just to deal with your last question first, if she says that men have been controlling women's reproductive rights, where? How have I impacted anybody else's reproductive rights? What allows me or any other man to stop a woman from getting birth control? When you make a statement like that, you're making a statement that has the liberal ring of truth to it, but there's no truth to it whatsoever. How have your reproductive rights been arrested, controlled, or in any way inhibited by men? Tell me how.
I think she would say there's an ever-present threat of that, and that we're one Supreme Court
justice away
from it. Ever-present
threat of what? An ever-present threat of what?
Of not being able to get an abortion anytime you wanted it.
Well. We're talking about the past now. We're talking about birth control. We're talking about reproductive rights and so on. Of course, that's what she's talking about. This has become the issue for women now in America. Are you willing to be proud of having an abortion? Are you really to shout it from the treetops? Because if the answer is no, then you're not really a woman. And we all know this to be true. So there's that. Now, the second thing is, I think, much more important. And that's the question you started out with, was anything good going to come out of this? And take a look at this book cover, Scotty. It's called The Ones That Walk Away from Omelas by Ursula K. Le Guin. And this is the most profound short story I've ever read, and I cannot recommend it highly enough, and I don't mean to give out spoiler alerts, but she managed to encapsulate the entire issue absolutely precisely, and it's an excellent read, and I can't make the point without telling you the basics of it. In this story, she has a world, a city named Omelas, where nothing ever goes wrong. All the people are healthy. There are no rapes and assaults. There's no crime. There's no poverty. There's no sickness, no disease. There's no unwanted children. There's no marital abuse. There's no alcoholism. There's nothing. It is a gleaming city with silver trumpets and blue silken banners, and it is, by every definition, an absolute paradise. This is not a joke. That's what it is. It's paradise. And the reason it's a paradise is because deep in a basement in one of these buildings is an innocent little girl who's age 6 or 7 years old, and she's imprisoned by being chained to the floor. And she's fled slop, and she lives in her own filth and excrement, and she suffers daily. And it is her suffering that allows everybody else to live this exemplary life. And when questioned about this, the citizens of Omelas say, well, if she didn't do this, she might be suffering just as bad in a world without these kind of things. She could have had abusive parents. She might have been killed. She might be a drug addict. And everybody else who's living beautifully, and everybody else who's living well, and everybody else whose lives are saved and good are good because of this. And this has to happen to somebody anyway, so it's a pretty good deal. The needs of the many are so greatly benefited by this that it's a good deal. And Ursula K. Le Guin says this is the deal. It's absolutely true. And she says, and yet there are people who walk away from this perfect world. They walk away from this world of abundance and a world of health and a world of kindness and a world of lack of crime, lack of disease. They simply pack up and go once they've seen the girl. And so the question becomes, what kind of person are you? And the reason this is such a powerful, brilliant story is this. What Ursula K. Le Guin has done is she has shown you that it doesn't matter what the benefits are. If if harm has been inflicted on an innocent person in order to obtain them. It is not a question of most people are living better and poverty and alcoholism and wife beating, all the rest, rape is gone. The question is, did that girl do anything to make her guilty of this? And the answer is no. And therefore, I'm one of those people who would certainly walk away from a society like that. I do not want to live in a society where everything I have is predicated on the idea that somebody is suffering right now so that I can be happy. I don't believe that's what life requires. I believe my happiness is my business and everybody else is their business. And so when you ask what good comes out of this, you're really asking the question of saying, well, gee, you know, this is the article was asking, hey, some good stuff comes out of this. Comes out of what? Out of destroying this man's life and reputation? I was listening to Larry the Cable Guy on Comedy Roundup, and when he's dropped his accent, he's got some very fine points. He says, it doesn't matter anymore whether he did it or not. It's stuck on him. It will never go away. It's on him forever. It's assassination of his character, who's by all accounts an exemplary guy. He says he's been destroyed, and that's not worth anything to me. There is no benefit that I can see that is worth the destruction of a single innocent person. And if it makes all of the other crimes and all of the other ailments go away to inflict punishment on somebody who didn't do something and destroy their character, I want no part of it at all. I want no part of it. And the people who stay in Omelas are morally bankrupt, and they're very, 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 very diseased people. And by the way, when you say all these gave people an opportunity to speak up, you know, Kavanaugh gave people an opportunity to speak up, what happened to Bill Cosby and what happened to Harvey Weinstein and what happened to all these other people, all these left-wingers, the entire left-wing pantheon of people throughout the last year who've been proven guilty of sexual assault, that didn't loosen people up, but now all of a sudden an innocent man is suddenly going to open the doorway when after you hear what Harvey Weinstein did? Bill Cosby, as we record this, is going to jail for years because he was a sexual predator for 30 years and everybody knew it. And that's not permission to start talking about this. But suddenly a Republican guy who's running for a Supreme Court is accused on the most shaky evidence imaginable. And now this is like, oh, now it's okay for me to talk about it.
It's fascinating what it takes to tip the weight to the other side of the fulcrum in societal movements or things that suddenly become a meme or kind of the part of the zeitgeist of the culture. There certainly has been, since the Weinstein and other incidents, more open talk of sexual assault and sexual abuse. But I think Bill is absolutely right. At least from the left side of the spectrum, the freedom to speak out about it has been distributed widely and rapidly as a result of the fact that somebody who is trying in their minds to stop women from getting abortion, which is of course the only reason why he wants to be on the Supreme Court, that's the trigger for them. Now, God is sovereign and has a funny way of working things out on this planet because horrible things happen all the time. But sometimes good comes from these horrible things, not in such a way that you would ever wish that there would be horrible things happening so that good can come, and not in a way that you would say, look, God made that horrible thing happen just so that this good could come. You know, Flight 93 didn't go down so that we could all have heroes. The reason why is not as important as what happened as a result that is salutary. And so, yes, there are women in this country right now who, for whatever reason, have finally told somebody else, you know, Uncle John molested me when I was a kid, or who had told the story of being raped or abused by their husbands. I ran an organization for a while and was a phone volunteer for an organization to help women that were victims of rape and domestic violence. I know what a trap that is and how difficult it is to come out from underneath the shame and feel that you're worthy enough to even pick up the phone and call for help. So I know that that's a horrible situation to be in. So I think I can at the same time say, I applaud the movement that sets some women free from a burden that's been a secret for them for years and years, and where they find a common sisterhood and support because they haven't for all this time and they've suffered in silence and it has caused irreparable harm to them in other ways. On the other hand, it's one thing, you know, to touch on my Christian roots again, it's one thing for a Savior to offer his life willingly and to be willing to suffer the scorn and the shame and the pain and the destruction. It's another thing to grab a man off the street and do this to him who did not invite this onto himself. And I think Brett Kavanaugh is not the willing sacrifice that Jesus was. He didn't volunteer himself to say, I'd like to have my reputation destroyed so that other people may have a measure of freedom. If he turns out to have been guilty of this stuff that he's been accused of, then obviously we have to reevaluate what we see now. But as it looks right now, we have a man who is being crushed in the public square, rhetorically speaking and emotionally speaking. And the face of his wife during an interview this week, if you didn't share her pain through this, you have no sense of compassion. That's happening to somebody because he was diligent, he followed his profession, he wrote well, he judged well, he did all the right things as far as we can tell, and now he's become a whipping boy for a movement that should have happened a long time ago as far as women being set free. And I don't buy it that it's okay for this to happen to him, or it doesn't matter what happens to Brett Kavanaugh as long as some women benefit. I think we can have both. I think we can treat a man with dignity, and we can also treat women with dignity, and we can keep our hands off them when they don't belong on them, and we can treat them with honor the way decent men should. Well, let's do that for everybody. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making this possible.